And you are very welcome back to the second part of the Monday edition of Northside Today. And I'm delighted to be joined from a beautiful part of Ireland, from Inishowen, by Jim Doherty. And I would like to point out that this interview is being made with the support of the Communicating Europe Initiative, and it is part of our ongoing Brexit series. Jim, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Morning, Donny. How are you?
I am well. Jim, we are on the cusp of Armageddon. You know, we spoke, I think it was in 2016 was the last time we spoke, and that was just after the Brexit referendum. And at that stage, we were worried and we couldn't make a lot of sense out of it. We are 4 and a bit years down the road, Jim, and it's still as clear as mud, I would put it to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're no further forward. We don't really know, in practical terms, what Brexit is going to mean to people, particularly, well, obviously, in my area. Like, I'm living here in the border area. I work in Derry. I also work in the south, but I live right on the border. So a lot of my time, I'm over back across the border. But people here, we really still don't know what, in real terms, Brexit will mean for us, even after all these talks. And, you know, we just don't know.
Well, Jim, we're hearing at the moment the possibility of British gunboats being deployed. Now, I'm sure the good people of Inishowen will be only too delighted to see British gunboats patrolling waters just north of Derry there and British territorial waters, etc. I mean, like, as a sort of a detached observer from the Republic looking at this, it's unfathomable some of the consequences this could have. I mean, we spoke back in 2016, Jim, about the possibility that if this washed through, and you referred to it at the time, that the Northern Ireland situation in the pre-referendum debates was totally airbrushed out and barely got a mention. It very quickly became front and centre, and we discussed at the time, Jim, the possibility of the reintroduction of a hard border. And to coin a phrase, that possibility hasn't gone away.
It hasn't gone away, but it has eased. I mean, I know that there was last week that the EU and the UK came to an agreement about the protocols, the Northern Protocols, that they were going to be deleted from the taxation bill and this new interim market bill that they brought in the UK. But I mean, they introduced those things in the first place just as a form of blackmail or as a threat. But thankfully, they've been removed. So there is a wee bit of clarity there about the north, about the movement of peoples and so on. And again, there's that extension to the trusted traders, you know, like the supermarkets, like Sainsbury's and Tesco's and so on. That they're still going to be able to supply them for at least 3 months after January 1st. But it's again, it's one thing saying that they'll be supplied. It's another thing supplying them, because the logistics of it, been getting through ports and so on, where the lorries and so on, they have to get to Derry, Belfast, and to Newry and so on. And if they can't get out of the UK, if they can't get from France to the UK and out of the UK to the north, then it's okay saying, yeah, they supply the supermarkets, but if they can't actually get the lorries there, they can't. Yeah. The thing about it as well is that, like, I'm working on a project up here as well for Bordish Gwara. It's a flag funded project through Bordish Gwara, and we're documenting the maritime heritage of Inishowen. And a lot of that time, we spend a lot of time talking to local fishermen and people involved in the fish industry and the maritime industry. And we've been working on this project now for over a year. And again, the fishing communities here, who are right, particularly in Greencastle, because they're on Lough Foyle, which is a divided jurisdiction between the north and the south. They don't actually still know what Brexit is going to mean to them in terms of fishing, where they can fish, what they can fish. So there's still all this confusion. Even like deal, no deal, they're still confused.
Yeah, and that seems to permeate, Jim, through every facet. And, you know, I mean, you spoke there, and it's probably one of the industries that is going to be front and centre and most disrupted is the logistics industry. But by virtue of the fact that the logistics industry will be disrupted, that will mean disruption for everything else, because as a previous contributor to this series pointed out, everything, every single solitary thing that you can possibly think of that finishes up on your shelf in either your pharmacy or your shop or your motor factors or wherever else you go to buy something, everything comes in on the back of a truck.
Yeah, everything goes. I mean, particularly for, like, us here in Ireland, because we are an island, it's, you know, the air transport, you just can't fly things in as easily and obviously as cheaply as you can, you know, like, through ferries and sea transport and so on. But I mean, you know, I really don't know how, nobody really knows, to be honest, that's the thing about it.
That is the
and people on the street or the so-called experts and so on, they don't really know. Because, I mean, this is all very much like new territory for everybody.
Jim, can I put it to you as somebody with, if you'll pardon the analogy, with a foot on either side of the border, and I want to talk in a moment to you about how the actual people there on in the Inishowen Peninsula are looking at this at the 11th hour. But can I just put this to you, Jim, on the political front? Looking at it from the very, very close proximity that you are, who do you think that the likes of Michael Gove and Boris Johnson at the moment, what audience are they playing to? Now, they may initially have been thinking, well, we're playing to the majority who voted for Brexit in the referendum, but I would tend to believe that that majority has dwindled quite substantially. So you wonder now, who is it exactly that they're trying to appease? Because going down the road that they've gone down cannot be good for any part of Britain.
That's very true. But I think that actually they're talking to and appealing to a very small audience and a very small group of supporters, but they're so, I think at this stage they're so committed. Do you know what it's like? It's a bit like the, and this is the analogy I have for them, the Brexiteers, Gove and Johnson and his cabinet, who are all picked because they're diehard no dealers if it comes to it. But I liken them to the charge of the Light Brigade, you know, where the gallant 400 or the gallant 600, trotted into the Russian cannon in Gallipoli, wasn't it? But they trotted into the Crimea, trotted into the Russian cannon, knowing that they were going to be decimated. But the fact was, the order had been given, and they were going to abide by the order. And that's what they're doing here. They're just like the Jarts of the Light Brigade. They know that they're going to their doom, but they've made the decision, and they can't back down from it. So that's where they're continuing on going. Now, the thing is, in the north, obviously the majority in the north voted against Brexit, and that's from all sectors of the community, from both nationalists and unionists. And it was only the DUP who were insisting on, that Brexit was a good thing and they had to stand by Westminster and vote for Brexit. But I've met nobody. And I teach in a college in Derry that has got students from both political, or whatever you'd like to call it, political communities, and staff from both communities, and I had met nobody who at any stage said that they were in favour of Brexit. So you've got this small,
cohort of people,
Brexit vote, in England, and it is in England, and it's in a certain part of England, who are kind of more or less holding the rest, the land mass of Scotland, Wales, and Ireland, north and south, to ransom.
Jim, can I ask you, and this is, and I suppose we know one another over the years, and I've asked you, I've always thrown out this sort of an impossible question, but I'll chance it anyway, because you're so close to a lot of people up there, and you do watch this with great detail. Is it possible that Boris Johnson's legacy to British political history could be that he presides over the decimation of their economy and the breakup of Great Britain? Because we're hearing there during the week now that the possibility of Wales floating an independence vote, and we hear that if Brexit comes through, and particularly if it's a hard Brexit, which it's looking like at the moment, that it could hasten the reunification of Ireland. And we all know where Nicola Sturgeon stands in relation to Scottish independence. So, to use his analogy about Britain or Britannia rules the waves, etc., he could be heading into very choppy waters.
Well, it could, but at the same time, if the population of Britain spend 3 months, 6 months, or a year in the wilderness and really feel the effects of a Brexit that's decimating their economy, that's meaning that they can't go on their holidays to Torremolinos or Ibiza or whatever it is. If it affects people really, really badly, you may see a clamour from them to go back into the EU again. But again, I know that.
Do you see that as a possibility, Jim? Do you really see that as a possibility?
Yeah. The only problem is in the UK is that the Labour Party, they seem to be so, spend so much time fighting among themselves instead of actually acting as offering the people an alternative to the Tories. That is the problem. But sure, I do see people mind changing quite quickly and say, well, hold on a minute, this Brexit that we're getting now, this isn't what we were promised. And the thing about it is that Boris and the Tories have made so many promises, and they've broken them all so far, and like lived up to none of them.
But the thing there, Jim, before we leave that particular topic, and again, I would value your opinion on this because it would carry far more weight than mine, but is there a possibility that the promises that Boris, the Tories, the likes of your Farages, Rees-Moggs, that the promises they made were never, it was never going to be possible to keep any of them?
Yeah, totally. But again, there was a, sort of, I don't know how or why, but there was a large cohort of the British press and British media that, you know, insisted on peddling and promoting those promises and not seriously questioning them. Anybody that did question, or any, like, say, the likes of The Guardian or so on, that would question the policy, they were just dismissed as being, you know, as being, well, you're not playing the, you know, you're not playing to the flag here, guys.
Jim, before I leave and part company with you this morning, and I'm extremely grateful to you for joining me on this Communicating Europe initiative. As I said earlier on in our chat, you have a foot in both camps. So tell me what you're hearing from the ordinary people. Leave politicians and academics, and I know you're in the academic field in Derry. Leave them out of it. Talk to me about the ordinary people in the Inishowen Peninsula and the ordinary people that you're meeting in Derry City every day of the week. What's their view of this, and what do they see coming down the track on the second week in January?
Again, confused. People don't really know what is it all going to mean. I know business people here, and say the likes of Inishowen, who would have a business premises in Inishowen in Donegal, but then they would also have a kind of a mirror business in just across the border in Derry. An example would be fuel companies, you know, like that by, you know, that sell home heating oil and coal and logs and that sort of thing. And because of the carbon tax differences and so on, the price of coal and so on is a lot cheaper in the north than it is in the south. Now, for example, one of the local companies here, A&L Fuels, that you would go in and get your home heating oil from or your coal from, well, you could go, like from where I live, 5 miles up the road, just across the border, and you get the same coal, the same company, but for a bag would be a couple of pounds cheaper or a couple of euro cheaper. So I don't know how is that going to affect things? How's it going to affect businesses along the border here? And again, you've got so many people who live in Inishowen, people like me, but who then work in the north. So what's going to happen there?
And again, I presume, like, Jim, Jim, for interrupting you there in that point, and I want you to come back to it, but I presume that the reverse is also true, that there's people in Derry who work in Donegal.
Totally, yeah. But they're going to be better off because, obviously the sterling's going to go down and the euro is going to either go up or stay the same. But I can see a lot of people who are from the south, who are from Inishowen, from Donegal, and Monaghan and Cavan and other border counties as well, whose salaries and wages are going to plummet because of the fall, more than likely, the fall in sterling. So it's not going to work out while working. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be coming down here and, or coming back here and leaving the jobs in the north and saying, right, I'm signing on. So I can see that happening.
That's a very interesting point, Jim, and that's something that really, which hasn't got much coverage up to now, in fairness, and
And the talk about support, like, you know, that there's going to, you know, in the light of a Brexit, no deal Brexit and so on, they're going to put support in place for, you know, for border businesses and so on. That's okay, but I mean, give me for example, I'm living in Donegal, I have a mortgage in Donegal, I'm paying, you know, the Celtic Tiger mortgage, but I'm going to pay it on a no deal Brexit salary, which is not possible. Now I'm just talking about me, but there's not a lot more people like me. So, you know, because salaries and the pay conditions are not different in the north and in the UK than they are here in the south.
Jim, I think I will finish off the way I did the last time we spoke, and I'm almost certain that it was Confucius who said it. May you live in interesting times, but I think they're interesting, but I think when you factor in just the one point that you closed out with there, they're worrying times as well, Jim. There's no two ways about that. Jim Doherty.
Very much so.
Jim Doherty, from resident of Inishowen, and indeed media and communications expert, and also lecturer in Derry, in the college there in Derry. Jim, thank you so much for joining me on this Communicating Europe Initiative Brexit special. We will talk again, Jim, when the dust settles, if it does. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Jim.
You're welcome, Donny. Take care. Thanks. And hello to everybody in your FM.
That interview was made with the support of the Communicating Europe Initiative.